Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy!
Hey, welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. Bill, Dennis, and Alan here.
Hello.
We're all three here together this week, which is weird. Because it's only happening now about every other week,
second or third week.
I think it's because it's like we can't take it.
Yeah. Where was I last week? What wasn't I on?
We did that interview with Freddie Ordine.
That was on a weird time or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lunchtime meeting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
See, we keep scheduling these interviews at lunch so that Dennis can't join us.
That's fine with me.
I wouldn't say that's planned.
Yeah.
But
for those of y'all not looking at the video, Dennis and Al or Bill and Al just winked really hard.
Yeah.
We're hard winkers.
You guys just tear
wankers.
It up.
I'm just hard, better than being hard wankers.
Be a soft wanker, thank you. Oh boy, that's bad.
That's what she said.
Oh, we're back.
Back.
Beep. We're having-
All right. Hey, I wanted to a shout out. A little quick shout out. So yesterday, so we're recording today, which is Tuesday. Last night on Monday night, I was looking at our Facebook page. We were at
985.
So I sent a desperation email out or a Facebook post on my personal Facebook page and on Twitter and said, we are so close to 1,000. I didn't tell anybody how close we were. We are so close to 1,000. And, you know, we really want to get there. So help us get there. And sure enough, the numbers just started pouring in. We didn't pay for it either, by the way, just saying. So the numbers just started pouring in. And I think now we are sitting at 1,047. Is that right?
There you go.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something in that ballpark. It's not quite that. It's close. But anyway, we're over at that. We broke 1,000, broke 1,000 likes, broke 1,000 followers. Yeah. I was happy as a clam. I'm like, that's some pretty cool shit. So I was like responding to everybody. And actually today, people are still friending it. So if you listen, because you're hearing this, that's how we know you're listening. Then do us a favor and shamelessly share it on your page and get us some more likes, man. We really want it. And we really want people to listen, you know, but if you listen, you know, honestly, you know, we want you to listen, but you know, we really do this for us. We don't really give a shit. So, you know, otherwise we'd have quit like, I don't know,
for 5 years ago,
4.5 years ago.
Exactly.
Nah, just kidding. And I see that we're all wearing our corporate shirts tonight. So we're self-promoting, which is good. Yeah, we're all have
good
for those of you not watching. We all have our Ages of Rock podcast t-shirts.
I'm actually due for a new one. This here, I've washed it so many times it's starting to get a little crackly. So
I've worn mine about 4 times.
This is actually the first time I've ever worn mine.
Really? I wear mine a lot. Yeah. I wear mine a lot and it's been
I have the long sleeve shirt as well. And I wore that one Sunday because we had our first Rockin' Pod planning meeting on Sunday. So I had to wear that and pimp myself out to the people.
Yeah, there you go.
I was unfamiliar with.
You know, next time we'll have to wear our Best Buy shirts.
I was going to save that for when Chris comes on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Zach, if you're listening, buddy, when you come on the show, we're going to be corporate.
So you better have a blue shirt, too.
That's right. If you don't, if you have some red check dumbass shirt, we're going to call you out on it.
That's right. It's got to be a blue polo shirt or it doesn't count.
Exactly. Not a Joe polo.
Not a Joe polo.
No Joe polo shirts. None of that crap.
We love you, Joe.
We do. He's awesome. Anyway, so tonight, we'll get into it in a little bit, but our topic tonight, in light of tomorrow being the inauguration of the 46th President of the United States.
Which, when everybody listens to this, it will be yesterday.
It will be yesterday. we thought we'd do an episode about music and politics. So, we'll talk about that a little bit more, but that's coming up. So, anybody got any music news? I got a couple records. I know Dennis got a couple records. Any other music stuff out there?
Phil Spector passed away at age 81 in prison the other day.
Yeah.
And today, January the 19th, Our beloved Dolly Parton has turned 75.
Really? She shares a birthday with Noah. Noah's birthday is today, too.
That is correct.
I saw the greatest meme yesterday. It was her dressed in her best little whorehouse in Texas thing. And they said, what the hell did Jolene have on that?
One other piece of entertainment news that's pretty cool. Over the weekend, Betty White turned 99.
Yeah, Betty White.
Did she really?
She did. Wow. I met her back in 2012 in Philadelphia.
I've been.
She was only 80 then. That's crazy.
She was like 88 or something. I don't know.
My great grandmother and her were pen pals years and years and years ago. My great grandmother was older, and she back then that was a school project, and Betty White sent. I don't know how it happened, but she became pen pals. And when she was married to Alan Lutton, she used to send pictures to my grandmother signed and every time about her pets and all that stuff like that. And for years corresponded with my great grandmother.
That is very cool.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
So how was Betty White when you met her?
She was so nice.
I bet she is.
And the thing is, the thing is, what caught me off guard the most of all is, when she held my hands, her hands were so warm. I mean, it felt like my hands were freezing compared to hers. It's like, wow, either she has a cold heart or I have a warm heart.
You have a heart of stone. Yeah. But whatever, we're not counting.
But yes, I get to say that I met Betty White.
That's cool, man.
That's very cool. That's probably one of my favorite celebrity encounters.
That's cool.
I mean, above Gene Simmons, you know, I'll say it right now.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Who'd have thunk it?
I don't think I got anything news wise. I was telling you guys earlier, I did watch the Aussie news show on Travel Channel about the Believe, or do we believe, or
the Osbournes like want to believe.
It's I mean, though, it's just to sit there and watch those three just curse, you know, the F bomb every other word. It's just hilarious. You know,
I can do that every Tuesday night. It's right funny. Here.
Yeah. It's
Laura and I watched. Laura and I watched the 9 lives of Ozzy Osbourne a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I gotta watch.
Have you guys seen the Ozzy thing where him and Jack are traveling across the country?
I've seen a few of those episodes.
That's really good. It's a history thing. That is. It's really good.
It is much better than the Osbournes want to believe, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I mean, we watched all of them. I thought it was really pretty cool. I mean, it was typical Ozzy stuff, but I mean, it was kind of neat to see Jack in a different light than what you saw him, you know, before on the show, and kind of what you know about him.
Yeah, like Jack's a pretty
trying to take care of his dad and that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
it's cool. And Ozzy's just insane. That dude eats a half a gallon of ice cream every day. It's like, that's what keeps him going. You know, he's just like, it's funny. You get yourself a bowl and he takes the whole thing and he does it all the time. It's great. I do have some music news, and I have some local music news that is related to our topic today.
Oh yeah.
So, John Schaefer, who's the guitarist, primary writer for Iced Earth, lives here in Columbus, has turned himself in. He was on the FBI's most wanted list because he entered the Capitol building during the supposed insurrection.
The siege.
I'm just going to leave it there. a couple weeks ago, and using bear spray, which is like mace on steroids. And he has 6 counts against him. So he's turned himself in. Oddly enough, Iced Earth, I don't think has done anything for a couple of years. They go out every now and then.
Another year or so. Well,
but as a band, they immediately within like a couple hours had put out a statement that says, that's him and we're us and whatever. And actually, I think really what's true is he's Iced Earth and there are people hired.
I was getting ready to say, that's... it doesn't matter what they say. He owns the name.
So. He owns the name and all the other stuff is my understanding. But it's very possible. I've met him before. I did not really know his name. I knew he's lived here. I've had people tell me that they've talked to him a few times. Oh, you need to get him on your show and stuff like that. I'm like, but I don't know the dude at all. So I'm just going to call him and go, hey, He's going, what?
That's how I got Rudy Sarzo on the show. Hey,
you that's how
on?
We got. That's how we got. Hey,
get a hold of
that's
the FBI. Got... They have his number.
I'll ask somebody down at the police station.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you know, it was just ironic that we're doing this today and that happened yesterday or the other day. So pretty ironic. All right, album wise, I've got two. We haven't done this for a while. I don't think we've done the album thing.
Well, I haven't had anything for a while either. And we haven't been together.
So I went, I don't know if I showed this or not, but I bought, so this is a Jennifer Nettles. I don't know if you know Jennifer Nettles. She is part of
Sugarland,
which I like Sugarland. I've liked them for a long time. I did see them in Indianapolis at the State Fair one time, not the year that they were the band that the stage fell apart in the storm and stuff like that, and people got killed and stuff. So, this is a really good record. I mean, it is country, but her voice, I love her voice. So I bought it. It was right after Christmas or right before Christmas. I think it was after, Barnes and Noble had a bunch of records, 25% off and 50% off. So, this was 50% off. So I got it for $10. So
didn't they do that a couple years ago?
They do it all the time.
Oh yeah, so I remember you called
you gotta,
me.
You got to pay. I saw somebody post something that says Barnes and Noble's got half off, and so I'm like racing there.
I wish I'd known.
You can ask Lisa. I walk up there, she's like, "Oh my god," because I had a stack of records about 3 inches thick, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I think these are all on sale, and if they're all on sale, I'm buying all of them because these are great deals." I mean, there was some pretty cool stuff in there.
Right.
And then I got up there, and the only one that was actually on sale was the Jennifer Nettles. But if the rest of them would have been on sale, I bought them because there was
kind of what that would deal at Walmart, you know, right around Christmas time. Yeah. I was $15 a piece. I'm buying every one that I want, you know.
Yeah. So I got that. And then over the week, Friday, I took the day off because Noah went back on Saturday to West Point. So happy birthday, Noah. So we went to a couple record shops and then we went to the mall, and in the mall, they got this kind of retro store, but they had vinyl, and they had a used vinyl. And this record is you can't really see it cause it's all glossy, but it's Night Ranger Big Life album. And, it's in excellent condition, and the record is in excellent condition. So this is, probably the last, Night Ranger record that I'll probably buy, because actually the record that they put out, the last LP they put out, and I can't think of what it's called, Don't Let It Stop, something like that.
I don't remember.
That I went to see them on that tour. That record is a great record. I'll have to, if they ever put that on vinyl, I'd like to have it. But those are the two I've gotten. I did get my Kiss This CD that I ordered from the group Phil and those guys played on that. And it was a tribute band record thing. But it's great. It's a great record. I've ordered something else that's coming soon that I'm trying to figure out what I ordered that last week. So we'll do that some other time. But that's what I've got. I forgot to bring that Kiss This thing. So it's in the car.
Cool.
Because it's a CD. I still have a CD player in my car, so I can listen to those.
Yeah, I don't have.
You guys probably don't have one anymore, do you?
My car does. My truck does not.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, my Explorer does not, but my Saturn does.
Yeah.
It's a rarity.
Kelly's Lexus does, but that was the last year they put that in there.
Yep. It's amazing.
One more. Yeah. All right. I got three. I got one on the way, but it won't be here till next week. I did get the 25th anniversary, 180 gram of Rubberneck by the Toadies. Has one of my favorite all-time songs on it, Possum Kingdom.
That's never heard of it.
You've never heard. You've heard the song Possum Kingdom.
You've heard Possum Kingdom.
I guarantee you have. Okay. It's a cool album. They just, like I said, I didn't even know it was available. I did get a copy of Dio Last in Line. Cool thing about this one, though, it is a 2018.
Oh, so it's 180 grams, so it's not original.
No,
but it's not an OG. Whatever.
It's on blue vinyl. I saw clear blue vinyl.
You cheat, man. You gotta. You don't play the game. You gotta find the OG.
I don't care about the OG.
You need the OG, man.
Why?
Why? Because it's the OG.
I found the original of Holy Diver,
and you left it.
They wanted $79 for it. Yeah, it ain't happening.
What?
Yeah. You know what I paid for this one? You don't want to know.
$19.99.
$50.
That's stupid.
I know. Try to buy a Dio album. You can't find them.
No, I got some, I got two of my own. I don't need any more.
So last one I got, I finally got in the mail, and this is a previous guest we had. I got Donnie V, Beautiful Things in the mail.
Oh, cool.
It is a fan fucking tastic album. I really liked it. I went into it with no
low expectations.
Preconceived expectations or anything. I'm just gonna say, you know, because you know, it's all like stop the hate, share the love, save the world, you know, this kind of shit. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, but I, you know, I like Don. I like, you know, I like Enough's Enough and everything. Dude, this is a fantastic fucking album. I told Alan, I said, I got it. What do you think? I was like, what did you think I thought of it? And he's like, oh, but you didn't like it. I'm like, no, dude, I liked it a lot. And because I'm particular anyway. But no, Donnie, great job. I really, really, really like it. I think you guys, if get a chance to pick this up or listen to it, I'll loan it to you. Real good job. Good job, though. Like it. It's a cool. Good album. Just to kind of sit back and just kind of relax and, you know, just listen. And I like it. Can't say enough about it.
I'm trying to figure out what I bought. Kiss this.
And I do have... but I, like I said, I do have one more coming from the auction, but it's coming from New York, so it takes a little longer than from Ashley. But it was another expensive one. Those two albums pretty well kicked my ass for this month, of course. But it was an OG. It's an original, I think.
But cool.
Those things, none of those albums anymore. They're going they're just fucking outrageous.
Yeah, they're crazy. It's crazy.
Anything it's 80s, you know, it's hard to do.
Yep, so. It is. Yeah. All right. Anyway. We done? Ready to get rolling?
Yeah, I'm ready to roll.
All right. So tonight we're going to talk about politics and music. we are not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Talking about our personal views about politics.
None.
It's whatsoever. Really about how politics has played a role in how music has played a role in politics and vice versa. So,
right.
And there's been some pretty significant. I mean, I actually did some homework, which
I did too. I've been reading
the hell out of everybody.
I read a bunch today.
But so just to start out, just some background. You know, politics and music started back in the 40s. There was some, you know, music that came out in the 40s during the war that was not controversial, but was people really starting to take sides, and you know, in the 60s, during the racial issues that were going on and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of songs came out then supporting those. Folk music came out, Vietnam War. There were tons of stuff, you know, the Beatles became, and John Lennon became very polarizing with their politics and stuff like that. So there was a huge amount of that stuff going on. I think my first real memory, when I think about politics is probably, or, you know, politics and music is really about, you know, John Lennon, the Imagine song and that kind of stuff. And those things back in the 60s, late or early 70s. What were your first?
Well, mine was more like Peter, Paul and Mary. I mean, that kind of stuff like that. Of course, you know, Pete Seeger. And you also had like, of course, you know, cause I like Arlo Guthrie, but Woody Guthrie. I mean, you sang his song a million times, you know, This Land Is Your Land.
Right.
I mean, that's an early folk. That's where you're talking like in the, was it 40s? Probably
40s. Some of that's in the 40s and 50s. Yeah.
Right. But I, you know, mine are mainly, and then, you know, just about everybody at Woodstock, you know, everything that was played at Woodstock had some sort of politics kind of background. Not all of them. I wouldn't say all of them, but a lot of it had a lot of, you know, Crosby, Stills and Nash, you know, and Young and Neil Young himself, people like that, you know, there was a lot.
Well, Woodstock itself was
right. It was an
pretty much a political statement of
right. You know,
free, you know, free everything.
Free penicillin,
free love. Right. Yeah, that was after.
And then, you know, Joan Baez, she, you know, she's always talking, you know, telling her stories and stuff. You know, it's, you know, that's my introduction was all that stuff. You know, not my parents, but I know people's my parents' age. But
I would say the three anti-war songs that stand out most to me, political, anti-war, whatever, because they are really the three songs that I'm Edwin Starr's War, Creedence Clearwater Revival's Fortunate Son.
Yeah.
And Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, which humorously enough, Ronald Reagan tried to use in his reelection campaign, you know, completely unaware of what the song was really about.
Right.
But of course, you know, he got the old Bruce Springsteen smackdown. You can't do that.
And that's interesting because depending on, I don't know if you guys looked this up or not, but depending on like the arenas and stuff, I was reading that ASCAP and some of the RAII, or is it RIAA? Sorry, I got my vowels mixed up.
You're going to have a vowel movement.
I did. It was wrong. You know, depending on where you were, arenas buy a overall license for music. And when they have that overall license, then really anybody in that arena can play any music they want to, and nobody can really stop them. So it's interesting. There's been a lot of controversy about that for over the years and in a whole lot of different venues. I mean, with a lot of different,
well, and a lot of people too. I know presidents. I was reading a thing today with Trump, they were talking that he actually paid for the licensing for Rockin' in the Free World. And I guess they went after him and he was like going, but they basically come back and said, well, we paid for the rights to use it. They couldn't use the video. You could use the song. And it's basically, well, okay, well, I don't like that you're using it, but.
Well, and that's the thing. Legally, if they paid for it, there's nothing you can do about it.
You can't do anything about it. Now, no. A lot of people didn't, you know, I know, who was it that was always using the Fleetwood Mac songs? Was that
Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton, yeah. And they were.
I remember when they did the first inauguration, I think they were using the song Don't Stop.
That's it, Don't Stop.
Which, you know, even though they didn't ask for permission, I guess the members of Fleetwood Mac didn't care. Right. And it also kind of helped get Fleetwood Mac back together for that.
Right.
What ultimately ended up that really successful tour in 96, 97.
Yeah.
Of course, that's when the Eagles and Kiss and everybody was getting back together. So that was a wonderful time to be a rock fan.
Right.
So I can give you a little quick rundown of 33 songs recently that have been an issue with politician that the artists have said, no, you can't use my song.
Okay.
So do you want me to give you this quick rundown? So Queen versus Donald Trump, he was using We Are the Champions. They said, hey, stop that. So he ended up stopping it. Actually, he said, hey, we've kind of paid for this, but they looked at it and went, okay, we'll just pull it anyway. Actually, Nickelback didn't like the fact they were using Photograph, that Donald Trump was using Photograph and showing pictures.
Right.
And so that got pulled. Rihanna. Because he was using one of her songs during the Don't Stop the Music was playing during one of the events, and she asked him to stop. Ferrell, Don't Worry, Be Happy, that was pulled. Actually, he sent them a deceased and desist letter. Let's see, Explosions in the Sky was used by Ted Cruz during his run back in 2016. Bruce Springsteen, we talked about that, right? Born in the USA. That was Ronald Reagan, Bob Dole, and Pat Buchanan. So he covered three.
Right.
Oh, seriously, this just popped up an ad as I'm reading this. You've got to be kidding me.
Don't you hate that?
And I can't get back to it. You mother father.
See, you didn't make it through the clickbait.
I didn't. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, I hate that.
That sucks balls.
So anyway. You're getting back to it. Hey, you know, another one I didn't realize that was such a MC5. I didn't realize that they were as political as they were.
Yeah. All right. Keep going. I'm going to try to find this thing again.
All right. That's one thing I was looking through. You know, of course, you know, you had the Plastic Ono Band, which was, you know, of course, you know, instead of, you know, she's writing political stuff plus breaking up the Beatles.
She didn't break up the Beatles. They were breaking up anyway.
But I didn't realize, you know, but I was just going through a lot of these. I didn't realize, I mean, of course, you know, with Jefferson Airplane, Creedence, those, you know, Stones had a few songs, Street Fighting Man, that was, you know, basically a political statement. Then of course, you know, your punk rock, all your Sex Pistols, the Clash, you know, that was a big one, Black Flag. Some of the other ones I was coming across, because the Sex Pistols, you know, God Save the Queen, that was, they were against all the monarchy. And then look at, you know, look at what happened with MTV, you know, back in '90s, you know, with the Rock the Vote.
Rock the Vote,
you know,
yeah.
They started, you know, getting under that train. I know, you know, of course, and what was it? Dave Mustaine was in.
He was getting ready to say.
When they, I think, I can't remember what, well, but 90, which, what election would have been right around 90? Would that have been
92? Clinton? It was Clinton.
Clinton.
Yeah.
I remember them going to the conventions. And I know Dave Mustaine was at one of them. He was, I don't know if he was at the, I guess he would have been at the Republican one, wasn't it? Or was he at the Democrat one? I don't remember.
But he was, we should probably make sure we know.
We probably need to look at that. But, you know, he'll a lot of his music, too, you know, Megadeth, you know, they had, you know, of course, you know, Sympathy for Destruction. And they had a lot of political undertones or overtones.
You mean the Symphony.
Symphony of Destruction. What did I say? Symphony.
Symphony. I got Sympathy for the Devil.
It's been a long day.
You've had a long few weeks, man.
Yeah. I wonder if the President of the United States, did they ever have a political song?
I don't think Lump or Peaches counts.
I don't think Peaches or Lump counts.
And I couldn't tell you any other.
I've got their album. I have to. I don't think they do. You would think that they would have, you know. And look at, you know, you got, I was just looking to hear Kanye, of course, you know, he's even running.
Yeah, you know, and then the big political thing, if, you know, if you remember, right, is back in on September 19th, 1985, when the PMRC came about.
That and you've was got a wonderful discussion
Mrs.
today.
Mrs. Gore.
Yeah, and you've got Mrs. Gore and some other chick. I don't know. But I don't remember who the other person was, but I watched some of that today too. I watched actually
Denver?
It was John Denver.
D-Snyder.
Yeah. And Frank Zappa.
It doesn't matter who else was on there. John Denver and D-Snyder stole the show.
Well, it was interesting because John Denver only had like 10 minutes, but he was just John Denver. He was like calm and collected and very well spoken. Well, you know, the other guys are very well spoken too, I think.
Sure.
But just matter of fact, and I don't need you telling me, you know, what I should be doing and that kind of stuff. And I thought it was amazing. I thought Frank Zappa that started it, because I think he was, well, in the ones that I watched, he was the first person. I think he was the first person that went, but
right.
he walked in the door and was ready for bear, man. And he's like, he laid him out. So was D, and D was
I think D came in there and they thought he was going to be this, you know, this
dumb dirt bag.
Yeah. And he's really, you know,
smart dirt bag.
He laid it out too. Is. And he was, you know, you could just tell they were shitting in their pants, you know, whenever he was talking. You know?
Well, you know, you walk in and if the odd thing is Frank Zappa walks in, he's got a suit on, his hair's cut. He doesn't look like Frank Zappa at all. I mean,
right.
Like what you would have expected. And John Denver walks in there looking like John Denver, right. And D. Snyder walks in there looking like D. Snyder with just no makeup. I mean, his hair is like,
no, D. Snyder looked like Come Out and Play era D. Snyder.
Yeah, right. he was out there.
Which that was about the time that album came out, so it makes sense that he looked like
he actually
that.
It was his teeth chiseled at that point too.
I don't know if they were or not.
I think they were. I think I it know. Was when he had them cut
on the video. You couldn't really see it because it was all kind of from the side, so you couldn't really see it. But you know, it was to me watching that today. And if you get to, you know, if anybody listening or watching gets the chance, go back. If you Google that. You can watch all three of the videos on YouTube.
Right.
And it's amazing to see guys that I think the to your point, the senators and Congress had no respect for them, that they thought they were going to come in there and just,
sure,
you know, act, you know, be ignorant or whatever is what I think they thought. And they were very well spoken. And D. Snyder just laid Tipper Gore out. I mean, you know, here's the three things she said in this press conference that I watched, and here's what she said, and here's the actual truth about what she said. I mean, she just, he just filleted her. I mean, it was just, it was amazing that I
didn't
mean,
he even didn't he even say what, because they asked what the SMFs were. And yeah, he actually just looked at this flat out. I mean, didn't even stutter.
No, didn't stutter. I mean, it was just amazing that, you know, they thought that these were ignorant people. And, you know, you don't get in the business, you know, you don't get in the music or any business for that matter and be stupid and not have knowledge and not be willing to protect your own. And I think that's what they were trying to do.
But, you know, I think maybe they thought Zappa and Snyder was going to be ignorant. I think for John Denver, I thought maybe because of the type of music that he put out, they thought he was going to be on their side.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is too, when he talked about Rocky Mountain High, that's where he got in trouble. Right. So he had radio stations banning that song because some politician said that they were talking about getting stoned.
Right.
And in the video, he talks about, he goes, have you ever been to the Rocky Mountains? Have you ever stood at the base of the Rocky Mountains and looked up and in the awe of the majesty of what's happening there? And, you know, you just, as you listen to him, you're like, these people just made shit up to fill in the blank they wanted. I mean, that's really what happened. They just filled in their own blank and it was crazy.
You know what really the bad thing too, real quick, is putting the stickers on the albums just made sales go.
It just
worked against them.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting because they asked Dee Snider if he thought that that people should be able to buy records and not know what's on them. And his response was, well, if my son brings home a record or gets a record, I look at the record and I look at the cover. If the cover's got some chick with her legs spread and a pentagram, he's not buying that.
Right.
He's not old enough to have something like that. And if I look at the back of it and the songs on the back of it, I go, if I raise my eye, you know, if it gets me, then he's not buying that. Right. Because a lot of times it's on the front cover and it's on the back. You can tell. By the way by what they're called. Unlike what, and then he made some comment like, unlike what Tipper Gore thinks, which is she just makes her own stuff up.
Which is really good.
It's like
sticking to her.
Just sticks it to her. But I do have the Filthy 15, which is what started the whole thing, I'll read off the Filthy 15 for you. And I have it on paper, so the freaking, and I didn't get it from EW, so they can suck it. Bastards. I unfriended them today. Anyway. All right. So this is the Filthy 15. So it's Judas Priest, Eat Me Alive from Defenders of the Faith. Motley Crue, Bastard from Shout at the Devil. Now, I don't know those two songs very well. I mean, I haven't went back and listened to them. Now,
Bastard? Oh, you know that one.
I'm sure I do, but I mean, I listen to music for the music and for the lyrics and stuff, but I'm not diving into it.
Gotcha.
Now, this one, however, Prince, Darling Nikki from Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Probably a little risky.
Well, one of the lines in the song is masturbating with a magazine.
No. And then there's Sheena Easton, Sugar Walls, which is
also a Prince song. He wrote that song.
He did write that song. That's correct. Wasp, Animal, Buck Like a Beast.
Right.
Meaningful Fate, Into the Coven, which that was about the occult. Which, ironically
did
enough,
did you call them Meaningful Fate?
I said Merciful Fate. I can't read my own handwriting. Merciful Fate.
Man,
I have it on
my
paper.
D was going to rip you up.
He probably will. All right. Anyway, it's called Into the Coven, and it's ironic because it's an occult. They said it was an occult song, but it's on an album called Melissa, which is seems like an odd name for a record about the occult. Right. Anyway, so then there's Vanity.
Melissa was a witch.
Yep. Yeah, a Vanity, which is Vanity 6, which is Strap on Robbie Baby, which is
Who wrote that song.
Yeah, another Prince song. And
I think I'm not sure about that one.
I think it is a Prince song.
I would be willing to bet that it is.
Well, I'm sure he had something to do with it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did too. Then there's Def Leppard, which I didn't realize this. High and Dry was on there on the list.
Really?
Didn't realize it. Yeah. Twisted Sister, We're Not Going to Take It. And that was on there because it promoted violence.
Well, High and Dry.
So does Looney Tunes. But
the High and Dry album, I think, the phrase high, you know.
Oh, it could be. Talking
about getting high. But yeah. I think the song Me and My Wine is on that album.
Oh.
So promoting alcohol. I would
say. That it's just the song. So what I listed here was a song. So the song was High and Dry.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But ironically, about the Twisted Sister thing, you said it was Looney Tunes. On the video, Dee Snider describes We're Not Going to Take It in the video. Right. And he says it's Wile E. Coyote.
Oh, it is. It is.
It was completely based on Wile E. Coyote.
If you watch it, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just funny. Ironic. Yeah. All right. Madonna, Dress You Up from Like a Virgin. Cyndi Lauper, She Bop.
She Bop. Yep,
She Bop. Yep.
AC/DC, Let Me Put My Love Into You.
That's pretty direct. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you pay attention to the lyrics of that song, it's to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Black Sabbath, Trashed. And the Mary Jane Girls, In My House. And then the last one was.
Is that a euphemism for In My Cooch?
Yeah, I think so. And then the last one was a band called Venom. And the record was called Possessed, was a single. So that's what, that was the Filthy 15, and they were calling it porn rock. That was the PMRC's thing. So
challenge for people that are listening right now, make us your own Filthy 15 playlist. We could have some fun with that. Yeah, just the Gene Simmons songs alone. Yeah. You can get 15.
The Gene Simmons catalog is done.
Yes. considering that three of Gene's songs are about a young woman.
Yeah. Unholy might not be.
Well, but Domino, Christine, Domino. Going Blind. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Two-timer. I mean, there's like a list.
That's right. So what are your thoughts now, getting back to politics and music? So people like, say, Bono or the, especially Pearl Jam, when they're Eddie Vedder, where they talk politics all the time, not necessarily even in their songs, but they're very political and they are using their whole band as a political statement.
Well, talk about the biggest one that ever happened, right? Which was the Dixie Chicks. Well, so do you remember that situation?
Yeah, I remember that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened in England. So the biggest deal with that was they went to England, and they were in England when this occurred, and stood in front of the crowd in England and said that they didn't support the Allied invasion, and they were ashamed of the president of the United States.
Right.
In a different country.
Right.
It hammered their career.
Oh, of course it did.
It was amazing. When I was reading about it, it was like, I mean, I remember it happening. I remember being pissed off about it. I always called them the Chicks with Dicks anyway, because it was just, I didn't like them.
My mom calls them the Dickless Chicks.
Well, that's another one.
Wow.
But, they never got into them at all. But it harpooned their career for about 15 years. I mean, they ended up finally coming back a little bit later, but they were,
My thought on it is I just don't, this is just my personal thought, is I've been ruined by a lot of people because of them just not shutting up. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like, I want to listen to your music just to get away from politics and get away from this and get away from that.
As an escape.
And I don't mind you writing a song that may be political in a way, but to sit there and, because there's some videos of U2 in concert, and the guy who plays bass is just sitting back there going, come on, play some fucking music.
I think his name is Adam Clayton.
Yeah, he's all fucking mad. He's like,
Bono can get on a run, man. He can.
But
get
it's
on
like
a little...
you have your beliefs. I don't care. And the thing is, it's got to lately with Gene and Paul. I mean, they just keep talking politics all the time. And I'm just, I don't care what your politics is. I just are about everything in the world. Just write some music, play some music, make me feel good. You know, I don't know.
Here's how I feel. I don't care that Gene and Paul are on their Twitter feed talking politics. I don't follow those guys on politics. I don't follow those guys on Twitter. You know, I don't follow them on social media at all. Right. They have the right to say what they want. Same with Ted Nugent. You know, the biggest thing about politics and music for me is if I pay $65 for a concert ticket,
right,
I come to hear you sing your music, do your show, whatever. I didn't pay $65 to hear you bash the liberals or the conservatives,
right,
or anything like that. On that stage, you know, you should be a rock star. You should be a country star, pop star, whatever. Leave the politics off the stage.
And and that's true. Like I said, what they do in their own time, that's fine with me. But yeah, when it gets to a point, even with Ted, you know, if he gets up there and starts, you know, just play "Wang Dang Sweet Putang" and shut the fuck up, you know,
you're not ever going to go to a Ted Nugent show and not hear
20-minute
rant.
I know
that is never going to happen. So
and then him shooting.
That's where I go take a shit or take a piss or something. You know,
you can't piss a lot long, buddy.
That's true.
Your bladder's not that big.
Yeah. But you know, I mean,
when we had Ron Keel on the show, you know, he made it a point. As an artist, I have the right to speak my mind politically.
Sure.
And I totally agree with that. Right. But I just personally don't agree with doing it on stage when people bought your ticket to see your show.
Yeah. So we went to see Richard Marx. Richard Marx is very much a liberal, no questions about it. And I follow him on Twitter for a while. I don't follow him anymore. He's quit posting. He's probably unfriended him at some point because I've had about enough. But it was all the time, right? It was constantly. Right. It wasn't really about him, about his music and stuff. So we went to see him last Valentine's Day, right around Valentine's Day, right? So right before everything shut down. I told Lisa when we were sitting at dinner, I said, I'm telling you right now, if he goes on this political rant, I'm leaving. You can stay, but I'm done with that shit. I don't want to hear about it. I don't care what his views are. He can have his views and I appreciate those, but I am not paying money tonight to listen to that bullshit. So, and it was funny because I said something to her when we were the other day, I was doing some homework for this and she goes, yeah, actually, oh, I remember you saying that. I worried about it. and really, he never brought it up. It was a great show. He did a great show and that's perfectly fine. And I have no issue with it. You know, I just don't, to your point, I don't want somebody standing in front of me, giving me a dissertation about how they feel. Great. I appreciate how you feel. This is not really the audience for that. These people all paid to be entertained. You know, the interesting thing about the Dixie Chicks is, And this is not my view. I'm just, you know, this is what happened. Sure. A lot of country fans are Republicans,
right?
You know, they're conservatives. So you don't stand in front of that fan base. Now they didn't, they were in England. Now I can only imagine, think about what would have happened had they been in Texas and did that.
Right.
Oh, they did. They wouldn't have made it out of the damn building.
You don't get the death penalty for that here, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, somebody ain't leaving.
Agree, yeah.
You know, I really do believe that. There would have been storming the stage. It'd have been a mess. Right. As I was thinking about that, really chicken shitted out chicks with dicks out and went over to England and did it over there. But you know, I think that's the thing that just knowing your audience and who you're playing to, you know, you know that there are, you know, a lot of country people are conservative and that's just,
well, you know, onto the point of them going over there and saying that, you know, that was still, social media was still pretty young, even though YouTube had been around. And I believe that somebody over there posted that video on YouTube and then shared it. And that's how it got
exploded.
So
yeah.
But I would be willing to bet that they did not expect that information was going to get back to the States as quickly as it did.
Yeah. Within nanoseconds.
even no matter where you're at, even if you're in a conservative state or a liberal state, you know, your crowd's still going to be diverse, and you're going to piss a portion of your crowd off whichever direction you go, no matter who it is. Rodney, for example, Rodney went and seen Roger Waters and saw the Pink Floyd. So it was a fantastic show, except for the 15 minutes that he sat there and ranted. You know, it's like, you know, fly the pig or do something, you know, build a wall. Don't be talking politics. You know, it's just bullshit. You know, it's like, and he said they were like about the point where they were about ready to walk out because it just got stupid, you know, after a while, you know.
So you brought that up. So now the Foo have made a decision to play the inauguration. I can't
Dave's
say
always,
it.
Okay. Dave's always been a liberal. I mean, and that's fine. I don't, you know, like I said, it, his views are his views. The new album, the one song is very, well, it's kind of a no war song and stuff. And he has every right to do it. I'm not liking the new album, not because of those two reasons. I didn't think the last album was as good. And I was really hoping that this next one was going to be really good. And I'm not very, been of a lot of people, but I tell you what, social media, when he come out and especially when he's playing the Biden thing, they went shit bricked on him. I was reading through the comments.
Probably why he doesn't have Twitter or Facebook.
I mean, it was people were like, well, Dave, you know, you were my hero, not anymore. You know, I mean, they were just, and that's being stupid. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he can play wherever the hell he wants to. Doesn't bother me, but
you know,
the new music I'm not too excited about.
A lot of musicians or whatever say things that, like the Dixie Chicks, say things that get themselves in trouble with their fan base or whatever. A good example that I have a friend that used to live here in Evansville that has had a couple of pretty really good bands, and they've come up with some really good original music, and he's always had him and this one other guy were the core of whatever this band is. And, you know, they may have a new drummer or a new bass player or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, with this latest round of with the storming of the Capitol, the liberal versus conservative, Trump versus Biden, whatever you want to call it, their political differences, you know, that killed that band completely.
Wow. Just
because one believes or favors Trump, one favors Biden, or conservative or liberal, whatever you want to say, you know. Mm-hmm. It kind of bothers me that people let their political differences completely rule their lives.
Well, and that's happened on Facebook with friends of ours. And that's been, you know, we've had people that we've been really good friends with, other podcasters, and some of the people, you know, I've stopped arguing about it, and I don't get into it no more. I don't even talk about politics anymore.
Well, what?
But you can make one comment, and I've had people just flat going, well, if you believe that, you know, fuck you, I'm not going to be your friend. And then they're just gone. It's like, what happened? You know, it don't make any sense.
You immediately get lumped in with everybody else. It's because you said something they don't agree with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
people just need to.
Yeah. I've got, it's funny you say it, cause it's true. I mean, I have a friend of mine, and we have very different political beliefs, and
it's me and Bill.
Huh? No.
I said it's me and Bill.
No, but we had to agree that, you know, and the thing is that other person would just kind of, that person would start something, and I'm like, we're not going there. You know, I was trying to take, you know, and then they would start, they would kind of get it going. I'm like, I'm not doing that. We're not, let's be friends, because this is going to create problems, and there's no reason for it. So
I have got family that have been posting on Facebook political stuff that I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I had no idea you were that fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I just can't,
but you know,
we can't even talk it. It's just to the point where, and it's like, well, that's it. You know, so we just don't bring it up. Politics is just off.
So back to music, you know, we talked a little bit about Gene and Paul, and I think Paul stuff that I've been in, and I went back and looked at some of it on Twitter, and really Paul was really, most of his stuff that he's been posting has been more about wearing a mask and all that stuff.
He's
and
not,
it really isn't. Yeah, it's COVID stuff and just his feeling. You know, he has every right to say whatever he wants to do. And,
sure.
And really anybody that, in my opinion, anybody that posts on somebody else's page and just does it to be shitty to them,
you're just being shitty.
Yeah. And I'll be honest. I mean, I've posted on some people's pages that posted a political comment, and I was trying to get, help me understand what you're talking about. And it turned into a shit show because I was asking a question.
But because they take that as an attack.
Yeah, because it was honestly asking a question. Help me understand this, and it turned into a mess. But you know, and then you know he also posted the stuff about the attack on the Capitol. And you know, if they broke the law,
right?
I guess you're going to be in jail for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I have my beliefs, but it doesn't matter if what side of the coin you're on. If it's illegal, it's illegal.
Yeah, you got to call it what it is.
Yeah,
everybody
can go too far.
Yeah,
both sides.
Yeah,
so
I think there's definitely that aspect of it that just gets swept under the rug.
I have one final quick thing to say about politics. It's not necessarily about music, but I have posted something on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, so-and-so did such and such or whatever, and then somebody comes in with a comment, they must be a libtard or they must be a Trumptard. Whoa. Where did you get politics out of that at all?
Yeah. I know.
I've seen that on your page before. You get a little wound up by that.
Politics in there where it doesn't belong.
Yeah, you're done. See you. Have a nice day.
Yep.
That's like everybody, hopefully, in a couple of weeks, we'll get back to a normal situation for a while. It's just been politics has been on. It's been on too many everybody's brain for too long, and everybody's had. And we've had too much time sitting around doing nothing.
To wrap this up, we need music.
We need music. We need concerts. We need
so we can quit focusing on politics.
Exactly. You're damn right. You got to. It's a simple.
Because when you're at a show, for the most part, you have no idea who the person is next to you. You have no idea what their beliefs are. You have no idea whether they voted for whomever, and it doesn't matter because you're all there for one reason.
Family.
You're there for that. You know, that venue for that artist, and that's how it should be.
Yeah. Hopefully, it'll get back to that. We're hoping.
That's a pretty good ending, don't you think?
Good ending. It is.
Sure.
There you go.
Music will solve everything.
Music will solve everything.
Yeah. Good music.
Sometimes you need some thrash metal. Well,
now you're getting into subjective politics.
No. You know, right now I would go see the shittiest show ever just to go to a show. To be honest, no.
He's going to go see a hound show.
He's going to go to a Dixie Chick show. No, they're just called the Chicks now. They dropped the Dixie part.
That's right.
They dropped the Dixie part.
Yeah, they can't.
Kind of like Lady Antebellum is now Lady A.
And that's a whole different story because they stole that from somebody doing a record with.
Lady Antebellum has to do with slavery. So that
one was.
I guess Antebellum maybe was a plantation.
Well, Nashville area. That's Antebellum area down there.
It still indirectly has to do with politics.
It does. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But
whatever.
All right, people. Y'all know the routine. AidsOfRock.com, social media, past episodes. Like our Facebook page, like our Twitter page, like our YouTube page. They're all on the right-hand column of our Facebook page. And until next week, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.